All right, folks, so new sponsors over at Fast Growing Trees, the biggest online nursery in the United States. And they have more than 10,000 different kinds of plants and over 2 million happy customers in the United States. Get lemon, avocado, olive, fig trees. You can have all of these at your home on top of the wide variety of house plants that they have available. And Fast Growing Trees makes it really easy to order online. And your plants are shipped directly to your door in just 1 to 2 days. And along with their 30-day Alive and Thrive guarantee, they also offer free plant consultation. If you are not like me, I have a green thumb, but if you're not like me, then you can always ask them questions about whatever it is that you need. Any trees, any plants, they make it really easy. And so you don't have to like drive around and look at different nurseries. You can take advantage of their consultation and then you can get your stuff in just 1 to 2 days. So right now they have the best deals online, up to half off on select plants. And plus, when you use code Dana at checkout, you're going to save an additional 15%. So go to fastgrowingtrees.com and be sure to use code Dana at checkout for an additional 15% off. That's fastgrowingtrees.com, code D-A-N-A. Offer is valid for limited time, so tell them we sent you.
Dana Lash's Absurd Truth Podcast, sponsored by Kel-Tec.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
I'm just trying to figure out this photo. It's from Florida Fish and Wildlife Commission. Here's the headline. Florida man cited after authorities found an illegally poached gator foot stuck in his dashboard. Whoa. Number one, where? Number two, foot? Is it a foot? Feet? I don't know. Yeah. Three, is it attached to a gator? The Orange County commissioners, or no, this is a different story. This story with, this is just a weird story. So Florida Fish and Wildlife pulled this dude over. It was on Monday morning and they said, they posted this. This is on Facebook, the Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation. And they wrote, an alligator foot in the dashboard. Officers Luis Maurizio and Casey Schreier stopped a truck to check for their day use pass in a wildlife management area when they noticed something unusual. They said scattered throughout the cab of the truck were alligator parts, including an alligator foot in the dashboard of the truck. So it's, I don't know what it is. What is it in, Kane? Is it like a vent?
I think it's one of those cubbies or something. I think that looks like a GMC vehicle. And I think that might be a little storage cubby they have right there that might have a pullout little tray possibly, but.
Well, it gets weirder. Yeah. The driver told the officers that the parts were from an alligator he hunted a few years ago, but our officers could smell that the alligator had been taken recently. After reading him his rights, the man confessed to killing the gator a few days ago without a permit, and he was cited for violation. I mean, I just think if you're... Well, that was dumb that you didn't hide it, number one. But number two, nasty. Like, they're all about... But his truck looks like it's dirty, though. All strewn all about your truck. That's so gross. That's gross. Come on. That's nasty. Florida man goes on a naked stroll. Thought this was America. And tells officers that he is from a different earth. Yeah, he was arrested for indecent exposure. A restaurant worker said she spotted the naked Florida man, Jason Smith, taking a stroll outside the restaurant in front of all these customers. Palm Beach police officers arrived to the well-manicured scene, and several people pointed out that the suspect was walking nearby. He had no clothing on, and his man bits were fully exposed to the public. According to the arrest report, they did not say man bits. He did not know where his clothes were. He couldn't provide his name or date of birth, actually refused. So they handcuffed him, took him to the police station. He told officers he had no ID card. He didn't have a social security number. And he said he wasn't from this earth. That's why he resided on a different earth, and that's why he didn't have any of these documents. So he was charged with indecent exposure, resisting arrest, disorderly conduct. He entered a not guilty plea. I think he's still in jail. His bond was set at $500, but it doesn't say it was made. Just, I mean, did he want to go to jail? I don't know. That's how you get a quick trip to jail. Let's see here. This. A woman stole $1.5 million and splurged on flights, carnival cruises, and more, say cops. She's a bookkeeper. And the owner of the company noticed some suspicious activity. And the county sheriff's office, they arrested the 36-year-old woman near Jacksonville. Oh, man, she was buying all kinds of stuff. Expensive haircuts, flights, cruises, everything. Great Florida-based company with family values. And they also share your beliefs, particularly about self-defense. They have the Kel-Tec Sub-2K Gen 3. If you're unfamiliar with this, the Gen 3, I have the previous iteration of this, and it is just, it's awesome innovation from Kel-Tec. The stuff that they've come out with lately, I mean, I like all their stuff, but the stuff they've come out with lately is really cool. The Sub-2K Gen 3, as you know, the Sub-2K, you can literally fold it, the whole thing in half. It's like, it's great when space is limited, if you want to tuck it away nice and neat, but it's really super easy to to deploy as well. Now the Gen 3, previously you'd have to take off your optics and all that to fold it in half. Gen 3, you don't. Everything folds in half, optics and all. Simple twist and fold motion of that patent pending rotating forend. You can twist in either direction, folds it right in half. Now they've upgraded a few other things as well. The aluminum triggers upgraded, redesigned trigger mechanics. You got a lightened 5-pound pull. More precise feedback, isolated pulls, that translates into improved accuracy. You also have upgraded action, a new chamber indicator, all kinds of stuff. And it's from Kel-Tec, made in America, family-owned values at their best. To learn more about the Sub-2K, or it looks like Sub-2000 in print, Sub-2K Gen 3, visit KelTecWeapons.com. That's KelTecWeapons.com, and tell them that Dana sent you. I saw this yesterday from Brendan Carr. Those of you subscribers to Chapter and Verse over at Substack, you got this in your prep. And it is pretty unbelievable, because this is like, I mean, this is so much like, what did it make me think of? Kane, the 90s with the radio equal time, the equal time.
Yeah, that was the fairness doctrine.
Fairness doctrine, thank you. Yes, the fairness doctrine. Yes, that fairness doctrine. It reminded me a lot of that. So Brendan Carr tweeted this. He said that this was last night. The FCC just ordered every broadcaster to start posting a race and gender scorecard that breaks down the demographics of their workforce. Activists lobbied for this because they want to see businesses pressured into hiring people based solely, really, on race and gender. Courts have already overturned the FCC twice for pressuring broadcasters into making hiring decisions in violation of the Constitution. And he says that he dissents. He says, and he notes that the Civil Rights Act of 1964 requires that the government, they're supposed to keep this data confidential when the Equal Opportunity Employment Commission collects it. But then the FCC, he adds, goes another way, one that violates the Constitution, as courts have already found in two prior FCC cases. He says this is no benign disclosure regimen either. He says the evidentiary record makes clear that the FCC has chosen to publish these scorecards for one and only one reason: to ensure that businesses are targeted and pressured into making decisions based on a person's race or gender. And he adds, let's start with the FCC's track record of pressuring broadcasters into discriminating on the basis of race and gender in violation of the equal protection guarantees of the Due Process Clause of the Fifth Amendment to the U.S. Constitution. He noted that he had said that in Lutheran Church, the court reviewed an earlier FCC effort to use the same scorecard at issue here. He said the court then determined that the FCC's decision in that case to mandate that broadcasters compare their employees to the general population in their area across race and gender categories, that was basically, quote, pressure license holders to engage in race-conscious hiring. And he added that the court had concluded that the FCC had violated the Constitution because its regulations pressure stations to maintain this workforce that supposedly mirrors the racial breakdown of their area. Yeah. And he says that after that court loss, they went back to the drawing board. He says, but then they decided that they drew up the same plan. They wanted to pressure broadcasters into hiring based on race. You can't do that. That is a constitutional violation, but they're trying to get around it. And they're trying to go after it. We had this story of Soros buying Odyssey.
Mm-hmm. Bought a bunch of stock.
Yeah, bought a bunch of stock in it. And now we've got this. So they said, like, as with the first set of rules, Carr adds that these second ones make clear. Now here's the penalty. If a broadcaster's workforce did not demonstrate that its outreach or recruitment efforts were reaching the entire community, then the FCC expected the broadcaster to modify those efforts and in some cases face an FCC investigation. Focusing on how those rules would operate in the real world, the court found that the FCC's regulations did more than encourage broad outreach. They made clear that the agency, with life and death power over the licensee, is interested in results, not process, and it's determined to get them. He adds the FCC's approach clearly does create pressure to focus recruiting efforts upon women and minorities, as the courts found, a complete violation of the Fifth Amendment. So he said that the FCC secured a second and deserved L, meaning a loss, right? But that's not a trivial matter. He says that there is a history of unconstitutional behavior with the FCC. And he says that the Supreme Court has written that racial classifications, they do stigmatize people by reason of their membership in a racial group. So he says that the FCC has asserted, we found no basis to conclude that the demographic data on a station's annual Form 395B filing would lead to undue public pressure. He goes, really? And then he adds this. One broadcast filer states, quote, we, the undersigned investors with collective assets under management or advisement of approximately $266 billion, write to urge that the FCC require the disclosure of equal opportunity employment statistics amongst the companies it regulates, because doing so allows market participants to assess whether companies stand by their public commitments to pursue diversity, equity, and inclusion, DEI. Yeah, that's public pressure. By demanding that they publicly disclose all of this, they want to target and pressure by activist groups, all these different broadcasters, and bring in the government itself. And he says that posting these scorecards in Brendan Carr, the FCC, he's on the FCC. He says this is, they call it, posting these scorecards are what we would call pure pretext in discrimination context. And he says, he also notes that the FCC claims that publishing these scorecards increases the likelihood that erroneous data will be discovered and corrected. But that's stupid. That doesn't even make any sense at all, because how are they going to sit here and verify the reported race and all of that? Like, especially now, because the FCC says that you can report non-binary. How, again, are they going to show up at the workplace? Oh, you're non-binary. Oh, you're gay, or you're this. Okay. Go blow that dude. Prove it. You know what I mean? Like, where are they?
It's Friday.
It is Friday. This is how stupid this is. You see what I'm saying here? How are they going to do that?
Well, it's absurd on so many levels, because think about this. How do they know that every race listens or watches broadcasts evenly? So why would then you employ an even amount of people? You know what I mean? They would have to be watching these broadcasts evenly between races. I think their main goal is just to control speech here.
Well, of course.
It's always been that.
And on the pretext of... we're going to make sure that there's like fairness with all demos. That's just so dumb.
It is dumb.
And everybody listens differently. And different groups of people. And you can even just say old and young even listen differently. Yeah.
Demographics,
middle age listens differently.
Demographics are what drive it. It's not the government driving the demographics. It's the other way around. And they're trying to flip that.
I'm telling you what, this is like fairness doctrine. Gosh, the fairness doctrine plus DEI. Just when you thought it couldn't get more annoying. Ta-da! It did. It got more annoying. It's going to get bad. I think it's going to get bad. And I think, depending on what happens in November, it's going to get a lot worse.
And then think about the digital currencies they want to issue. So get this kind of government while you have a currency they can control?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no thanks.
Think about this. Do you remember back in... I remember in the 90s when I was a teenager. I grew up in the 90s. And I knew I heard some of the stuff about the Fairness Doctrine, and I knew... I remember there was a Time magazine cover, and of course we're in... God rest his soul, and his family are dear friends of mine. Rush's slot now. In a bunch of markets across the country. I remember a magazine cover. It was Time magazine, and it was Howard Stern and Rush Limbaugh on the cover. One representing the right, one representing the left. I was in school. Like, I remember my parents had a subscription to Time magazine. And I just like to read, so I would read anything that's around the house. And I remember reading about that, and there was a inclusion about fairness doctrine. And even then, when I was reading it, I'm like, why does the government? And they were, it was weird because they were couching it as though they felt that they needed to, it was like the early days of talking about fairness doctrine, right? They felt like they needed to introduce something like that to kind of mitigate what they said was just, you know, they had the shock jock of Limbaugh or whatever. But why wasn't that being applied to Stern, though? That was the thing. As a teenager, I was reading this going, well, why doesn't this go both ways? This is kind of weird. And I just never really thought anything more about it. You know, I just, you know, as a kid, I was going out living my life. But it, that I remember reading that. They've been trying for so long to contain the success of not really so much even just, I don't want to say just Republican, because there are a lot of conservatives that cringe over Republican, and I'm kind of one of them. And they, just right-leaning in terms of, you know, conserving individual liberty constitutionally, more constitutional approach, folks. There's been this huge effort over the past several decades to curtail their voices online, because in the early days of radio, when radio commentary really took off, those were the people who dominated. The left could not get it off the ground. And I do suspect that one of the reasons why the left could never get it off the ground is because they were so overrepresented elsewhere. You know, if people wanted to go and hear leftist commentary, they could turn on any network channel. They could read any newspaper. They could go see or read about anybody in Hollywood. It's so over, the leftist thought is so oversaturating. It's everywhere. But it's not like that for people who are more conservative, constitutionally minded. Those expressions of thought, actually, you have to work a little bit more to get them in full. And usually the only time that they're presented in a mainstream theater is when people are savaging them or trying to mock them or disagreeing with them or trying to destroy them. And that's ultimately it. So that's why broadcasting was so incredibly important for constitutionally minded voices. And then it expanded beyond that. So even after radio, with social media, it just, as I think I spoke about this yesterday, that was the same thing. Everybody's social media, constitutionally minded thought exploded on social media. Back in the early aughts of Twitter and all of that, even MySpace. I mean, everything. But especially Twitter, because that was like the early, you know, one of the first really that cemented itself micro blogging platforms that killed blogging, you know, long form blogging totally. But it conservative thought and movement and organization exploded, and the left lost their minds. They freaked out. They had like an existential crisis. They did not know how to deal with this. And now this entire time, they've been very quietly like planning this foundation. And it's not just with social media. It's also now with AI. They're baking all of this stuff in AI before conservatives can even blink. And conservatives are way behind the ball on this. And you can't just expect Elon Musk, who's more of a libertarian, he's chaos neutral, to save you. I mean, you got to save yourself and empower and partner with other people who can also help with that. But this is not going to end with these people. It is never going to end. The goal is to stamp out dissent. The goal is for a Borg hive mind-esque environment. I mean, there's no other way to put it. So this is really troubling from the FCC. Can you imagine if it was just all leftists on the FCC? Can you imagine? Jeez. Grateful for people like Brendan Carr. Plus, he protects my get out of jail free pass. They get one pass.
Hi, I'm Adriana, a politics major at Hillsdale College. Here's Hillsdale President Dr. Larry Arnn with a Constitution Minute.
America's founders recognized an obvious fact of life. Human beings differ in terms of physical attributes and talents. Because of this, some people will be better at some things than they are at others. But they also recognized that the tall and the short among us, the swift and the slow among us, are still human beings if we are recognizable as human beings, and therefore we are equal in terms of the rights that pertain to human beings, rights attached to human nature, rights that come from God. The Declaration of Independence names three of the big ones: life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Exercising these rights is necessary if we are to be truly free. In our own time, many influential people believe that only government can decide what our rights should be. This is dangerous. Understanding our rights and how the Constitution protects them is vital to our freedom.
To learn more and get a free pocket constitution, visit constitutionminute.com.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
All right, so apparently Instagram is more and more people are relying on it as a news site because they have to read with pictures. That's all I care about this story. That's true. Red Lobster has made a change to the all-you-can-eat deal because the customers ate so much that the restaurant suffered huge losses. That's a real thing. You got to risk it for them biscuits, y'all. The story, they made a very big change. The brand announced in June that its Ultimate Endless Shrimp offering is going to become a permanent option right on the menu for customers. And then after it was solidified, there were people who literally ate so much of it that it directly affected financial losses for Red Lobster at the end of 2023. I'm going to send this to my husband right now and go, was this you? Because he has a story about him and his cousin eating so many crab legs at Shoney's on the all-you-can-eat crab legs Shoney's Friday night that they were told to leave.
USA!
Their quarter earnings said that they noted an $11 million operating loss, and they said that the endless shrimp was responsible. I'm not even making this up. They said the endless shrimp was responsible. Oh my gosh, this is so great. They go, well, we knew the price was cheap and it would bring in traffic. We had no idea it would lead to this. And the CEO said he's never going to be able to eat lobster again. He goes, we just can't. Oh my gosh, I love it. That's so funny. Let's see. There was a severed leg on the subway tracks in the Bronx. Yeah, somebody's leg. Yeah, leg day. They said apparently it could belong to a dude who was hit by a train days earlier. Ooh, they found his body 9 miles away. But they are trying to confirm whether or not the leg belongs to him. I have an easy solution to that. Is the body you found missing a leg?
Sure, it's more complicated than that, Dana.
Probably not. A man is in trouble for stealing from Walmart. And I gotta tell you though, some people steal some pretty stupid stuff. This guy didn't. What'd he steal? Shotgun shells and bacon. Ammo and bacon, man.
Yeah.
He had to get some boxes of ammo, and he got, how many pounds of bacon did he get? He concealed the items and tried to leave without paying. And it didn't work out so well. He had a warrant already for him out of Fulton County. And that was for burglary with charges. And that was from Pennsylvania. He had stolen 138 items from Walmart in total, valued at over $1,000. He was charged with theft, receiving stolen property. And also, he's a prohibited possessor who is illegally in possession of a firearm. But bacon and ammo, you know. I mean, you can't really go wrong there. Uvalde cops who botched the response to the tragedy at the school, they were subpoenaed by a Texas grand jury in a move that could result in criminal charges. So this is ongoing with the Uvalde case. They say that because there could be, with this, they said that this was the report afterwards that showed how, you know, they stood outside, etc. But now this could lead maybe to more charges. They're still looking at all this stuff. We have more to come. You know, the solar flare that we had? Well, that's what they told us, you know, and it knocked out just a very specific solar flare that only impacted the United States. Super. Well, now, and because they said AT&T seemed to have experienced the largest number of issues, reports the New York Post, they said that maybe they were trying to implement the application and execution of a new network expansion and they failed. That was according to a company statement. The company said it was a system overwhelm. And they said that they were having a lot of problems because they were expanding and it was a system overwhelm, they said in a statement. Not at all hacking or the solar flare that we said initially, because that's what was reported initially. Did they say it initially or was it just other people guessing that had happened? Yeah, I'm curious about this. I don't know. But long story short, they totally messed up the execution of this network expansion, and it foobarred everybody's service.
So they didn't take all those towers offline so that they can bring them back up online with the new frequency that's supposed to affect everybody that got the vaccination? Is that what you're saying?
What? What did you say?
I said, so they didn't shut down all those towers so that they can bring them back up with the new frequency that's going to affect the people that have gotten the vaccine and boosters?
What would it do to them?
Oh, I don't know. Probably turn them into a zombie or something.
Did it work?
I mean, have you seen parts of Philadelphia? It looks like something's working.
But is
like
that any different from before?
Kind of. I think it's worse than before. Absolutely.
I mean, I think that's just from Democrats.
I don't know. Have we been truly getting 5G this whole time? Is this new?
I don't know. Are you like reading my mom's Facebook comments?
Listen, I may have been wearing the tinfoil hat a little longer during the day than usual.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I think there might be something there.
So your theory is that the people who got the injections that actually didn't promote any kind of immunity at all whatsoever.
Right.
And it wasn't even really therapeutic.
No, it's actually a detriment to your health.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That, in fact, it was just misadvertised as that. And it's really secret zombie juice that people were injected with. And it's going to turn them into zombified Democrat voters. And that this was a way to activate the serum.
Yes.
Is that your...
That's part of it. But you say... What did you say? What was it? Misactivate? What did you say?
Activate the serum.
Yeah. So... I think that could be it. I've seen enough online. I've been deep into the rabbit holes enough.
Oh, I believe it.
To know that that's a possibility.
Okay. Why wouldn't they just aerosol it?
Well, they've been doing that with the chemtrails and everything. Is that what you mean?
To make Democrat voters?
Yeah.
Or
they're making the frogs gay. That's what they're doing.
Well, apparently it's all caused a trans epidemic. It went way beyond the frogs. I just think it's just all, I don't ever trust anybody. I don't know. I mean, at this point, having seen everything I've seen, I could probably be persuaded to believe almost anything, I think, at this point. Because I am just so much of a cynic. Diogenes would be proud. It's bad. But yeah, they said that it took them 13 hours to fix this. And they said Verizon also experienced issues. But we were told reliably that it was a solar flare.
Yep.
And some said, well, it could be a cyber attack. And one tech said that he couldn't imagine this incompetence or a single node failure. It even affected some 911 services.
Yeah.
Huh. You know, the solar flare or AT&T's FUBAR. I don't know. What do you believe? I feel like, do you remember, what's his face? He was number two under William Shatner. Star Trek, that guy.
Spock.
No, Spock was never number two. Or no, he was number one. Who is it?
Oh, you mean on
Star Trek.
The Next Generation Star
Yeah,
Trek?
Yeah. It was Jean-Luc Picard.
You said Shatner, though. Okay, so
I messed up because I wanted to call him Shatner, and it's not.
Ah.
It was under, it was when...
Jonathan Frakes?
Jonathan Frakes,
yes. Was that his real name?
What was the show that he used to host in the 90s?
Oh, yeah.
And it was like, true or not, you decide. And he was so hysterical because he would... He'd show you, like he'd tell you about the story, and he's you're all in it, and you're thinking, wow, this could be true. And he's like, no, it's not. We totally lied to you. And he was so straight-faced, like he was making fun of you for believing their amazing over-the-top production. Like, they were the ones who made this whole series. And they're like, do you believe this totally believable story in our amazing over-the-top production and editing? If you do, you're a dummy. It's a lie. It's like what?
It was called Beyond Belief Factor.
Yes, right? I loved that show. I loved that show. Gosh, it was so good. Oh, I loved his delivery. Anyway, I feel like that's what this is. Do you believe that it was a solar flare? Do you believe that well-finessed government story? Because if you do, you're a dumber. It's a lie. They just need to see. Okay. Sidebar, it's Friday. I can do what I want. So I'll never run for public office, but if I did, and if I was president, I'd bring him out. I would legit, like, I would, who do I got to kill to get him out here? And I'd bring him up on stage, and I would, every time that we needed to combat bad narratives, I would bring out Jonathan Frakes. Right? Fact or fiction? Well, this one's fiction because you were lied to, you moron. I would bring him out, and I would just have him be the final word, but and then I'd move on to a different topic. And then
effective.
He would...
I think it'd be effective.
Oh, dude, it would be so effective. I don't know what I'd call him. He'd be like some sort of like press attaché, whatever. I don't know. I'd think of a title. Somebody would think of a title. Somebody who does that stuff. Like the guy who puts on Joe Biden shoes, I'd repurpose him.
Okay.
Yeah, and I'd make him think of a title for that stuff.
He needs more to do.
Yeah. Like the guy who's the dresser, the valet. The guy who puts on his shoes because apparently he can't anymore. They dress him. They put his brogues back on. Yeah. They took his hokas off. They put his brogues back on, guys. Those slippy, slappy shoes. And they sent him up those steep stairs to the plane.
Don't leave him in socks. It's too dangerous.
Golly. It's like a toddler.
Thanks for tuning in to today's edition of Dana Lash's Absurd Truth Podcast. If you haven't already, make sure to hit that subscribe button on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.